أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، وباعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى، تبارك وتعالى. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على خاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين، الرسول المؤيد والنبي الممجد، المصطفى الأمجد، أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، لا سيما على الإمام المنتظر وحجة الله الثاني عشر ابن العسكري المنتظر، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فإن الله الصادق العليم قال في كتابه الكريم القرآن الحكيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يوم ينفخ في الصور فتأتون أفواجا. سلامات. Brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Into the eighth night of our discussion, and we are slowly looking towards finishing off the few remaining subtopics within our topic of discussion for these nights that we have decided for discussing the issues that relate to man in his journey towards the Akhirah. But before I commence tonight's discussion, I would like to state a certain decision that has been taken apparently as a result of a certain amount of request that has been coming from the community members to the office bearers of the Jamaat as well as to myself, and that is with connection with the Masaib and the Ghambayan. Apparently there has been a lot of requests for the Ghambayan to be catered to in Urdu, specifically the elders of the community, and apparently the office bearers do feel that in these last few nights of this month or these Ashra that we are discussing, they need to be looked into and their request needs to be given a positive consideration. So there was a discussion, and eventually it has been decided that despite some trouble that it would cause, we would cater to the Ghambayan in both languages. So initially we would continue our lecture, our discussion in English and continue that with the Rambaya in English. And then once that is finished, we would turn into the Urdu aspect of the Masaib, so that the elders, whom obviously cannot be ignored because they form a very important segment of the community, can also be catered to. The reason that I felt it was necessary to inform you at the beginning is that so that you're mentally prepared that after the Masaib in English, there will still be another 10-12 minutes of the Bayan in Urdu, one. And two, obviously when I have to speak more, it means then more time. So then I would require some more time. If I'm hovering at around 1 hour 15-20 minutes, so now we'll be close to 1 hour and 45 minutes. I hope it should not be a problem. Points number two. Point number three is that because of this, it is better that at the very beginning people are mentally prepared so that they don't consider the majlis to be finished once the English Masaib is completed. Having said that, we now need to move, and we need to move fast into our topic. We will have to go quickly because lot of things remaining, many of the things I'm skipping out because of what I'm witnessing, the shortage of days that we have got already into the 8th night of the month of the Ashura. And with the time that we have got, we'll definitely not complete the topic as intended, but we will make our efforts. And before I commence tonight's lecture, Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Last night we were discussing about that part of the journey when we had stated that that period of time, that phase, that event for which God has 1/5 of the Quran devoted for it, 20% of the Quran designated for it, the Day of Judgment, before the Day of Judgment comes, preceded by certain events and changes. And one of the things that we had mentioned was that before the Day of Judgment comes, the entire form and the shape of the universe as you and me know it will change. When I say the entire form and shape will change, when I use the word an overwhelming cataclysmic overhaul that will take place of the entire universe, I mean the form and the shape. The matter would remain same, the material would remain same, it will manifest, or those material life would manifest itself in a different form, because now it has got a function to perform based on the rulings of God. And all those changes, all those, that overhaul that we heard yesterday taking place on the earth with respect to the mountains, and on the earth with respect to the seas, and with respect to the celestial objects in space, whether it is on the planet earth or beyond the planet earth, whether it is the sun and the moon, whether it is the stars and the seas, everything what we see in what form, in what dimension as we see now will completely change. And that is what is referred to as al-waqi'ah. But the thing that we need to understand is that these are the things that will usher in the Day of Judgment. But these events that will take place before the Day of Judgment comes, there are a couple of things that will take place that will pull this Day of Judgment into reality. That means Allah has ordained a sequence of events that while these things are happening, a certain procedure has been set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to usher in this Day of Judgment, to bring this Day of Judgment. And this ushering of the Day of Judgment is something that we need to listen to and we need to understand, because it is not ad hoc and random that all of a sudden something will happen and this earth will begin to move and the mountains will begin to fly. No, it will be brought about by an event which has been emphatically and categorically on numerous occasions within the Islamic traditions stated, explained and emphasized. That means in order to cause all of these things to happen, a certain procedure has been set forward, a certain event has been set forward, that once that event takes place, then automatically this entire world will move as per the dictates and the instructions that have been ordained for this universe by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, when I'm talking about this change, remember we are not talking about just planet Earth. That is too small an entity in this entire universe for even to be considered. When we are talking about an overhaul, it is a universal overhaul within the Earth and ma wara'ul Earth, beyond exactly what we term as a planet Earth. What will bring in is what is referred to and represented by that verse which I recited at the beginning. يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. The thing, the event, the procedure that will usher in the day of judgment is an event taking place at the hands of an angel by the name of Israfil, and he will enact and act out a certain procedure which will then cause this day of judgment. And that which you and me have at times heard referred to as the blowing of the trumpet. This angel by the name of Israfil has been ordained and has been entrusted the task of bringing to end this entire universe upon the orders of God. And then once it has been annihilated and the form changed, he will be given the task of bringing everything back to life. This Hadrat Israfil, his name is one of those four major angels who are regarded as the four arms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with whom, on the basis of whom, by means of whom, he runs the entire functioning of the world of existence. Again, I don't say just world, I use the word world of existence. Whatever, wherever something exists, it is being run and controlled and ordained by these individuals, by these entities, by these angels. So you've got the angel Jibreel, one. Second is referred to as Mikael, two. Third is referred to as Israfil, 3. And fourth is referred to as Azrael, 4. These are in some cases, in traditions, in the ahadith, referred to as Malaik al-Muqarrabin, the close angels of God, on the basis and upon whom he has given the task of running the government of this world of creation upon the as per the instructions and the sunnah and the rules and the regulation that he has set for them to follow. The one who has been entrusted with the job of putting to end this world is this angel by the name of Israfil. A very lofty angel, a very high-ranking angel, and in several du'as of the fourth imam, the imam has gone on to say salams upon Israfil. As-salamu alayka isra ala Israfil shakhsas yadfuruz as-sur shakhs. In one of the du'as, ideally, if I'm not mistaken, dua number 3 of Sahifa Sajjadia, in which he is sending salams upon this angel Israfil. The rank upon, according to certain traditions about this Israfil, is said is that when that incident of the creation of Adam alayhi salam was taking place, at that time when Allah says that فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ, look angels, I'm going to make this entity called man. He is going to be my hujjat upon the earth. He is going to be the first prophet upon the earth. فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, when I have formed and given him the shape, and I have نَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, when I have blown into him the soul from me, فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ, bow down to him in prostration. According to certain traditions, as soon as the order of Allah came, faqa'u, bow down in prostration. The very first angel to bow down before Adam in obedience to the ruling and the instruction and the dictate of God was Janab Israfil and Hadrat Israfil. That's how muqarrab he was, and that's how obedient he was. According to traditions and according to Surah Zumar, verse number 68, the verse says, when نُفِخَ فِي الصُّور, a time will come when a trumpet shall be blown. When نُفِخَ فِي الصُّور فَسَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. That when the trumpet is blown, Sa'iqa will fall down, will die, will cease to exist. Sa'iqa, man fi samawati, everybody who is living in the heavens, wa man fil ard, and everybody who is living on the earth, all of them sa'aqa, they will fall down, they will die. Then over here Allah puts a catch, illa man shaa Allah, but amongst all the people in the heavens who upon hearing the first blowing of this trumpet they will die, and amongst the people of the earth who upon hearing the sound of the blowing of the first blowing of the trumpet when they die, amongst them there will be a certain group who will not be affected by the blowing of the trumpet. And this is characterized by that condition placed by Allah in this world. When He says, "When nufikha fi sur," when the trumpet shall be blown, sa'iqa will fall down dead, man fi samawati wa man fil ard, those in the heavens and those upon the earth, illa, except few people, illa man shaa Allah, except those people whom Allah wants to keep protected from this event and eventuality. So certain group will not be affected. And right now we are not interested in discussing whatever, who that group is, because we then go down a different valley and it will lead us away from what we are discussing. But He will blow once, and once He blows, as soon as the sound comes out, in whosoever's ears the sound goes will fall down dead at that instant. Then Allah says in this verse, Surah Zumar 68, He says, وَنُفِقَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى, a second time in that trumpet it will be blown, فَهُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ, and all these people at the time when the first trumpet or the first blowing of the trumpet took place and died, when the second trumpet will be blown, فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ, they will all stand up and start looking around, what is happening? And this is that event which is referred to as the blowing of the trumpet. According to the traditions and according to our Shiite belief and according to the Islamic belief, on the threshold of the Qiyamah, when Qiyamah has to take place, this angel Israfil will be ordered by God to blow into a trumpet. It is said there will be a trumpet. A trumpet is a thing, is an instrument, is a tool, is a mechanism that is used to blow out a loud sound. It could be a metaphorical expression, it could be a real expression, we don't know. But yes, we do know that in order for the earth and the universe and the entity of creation to conclude its living, there will be a sound. That sound will be initiated by this angel Israfil. As soon as the sound takes place, everybody will fall down. And then after some time, another sound will be made. When that second sound is made, when that second sound comes out, all those people who died in the first instance will fall, will again get up. And now, when the second time when they get up, is the time when which Allah has promised in the Quran, the Yawmul Qiyamah. But according to the traditions, this period between the first blowing and the second blowing is not very well or defined. According to certain traditions, it is 40 years. That means from the time the first trumpet is blown and everybody dies, till the time the second trumpet is blown, certain traditions mention 40 years. But it cannot be actively and conclusively stated, it is going to be for 40 years. But assuming even if it is for 40 years, what happens in that intervening period between the first blowing and the second blowing? That means a time when there is no creation of God, except a certain handful of entities who have not been affected, except them, every creation of God does not exist. And then assuming it is for 40 years or whatever that period is before the second blowing and when everybody gets up, what happens again? The traditions are pretty much silent. But there is certain evidence which has been stated by Ayatollah Dastaghibi Shirazi, and a very passing reference he makes. He says, in those 40 years between those two blowing, some tradition states that there is going to be a constant pouring down of rain for 40 years that will envelope the entire earth. This is talking about the earth now. That will envelope the entire earth with water. But conclusively we cannot say. But this is what will happen. And once that second blowing takes place, then will start the day of judgment. But now, Israfil is supposed to blow. He will be made to blow it once. He will be made to blow it twice. The first one is the blowing of the death. The second one will be the blowing of the life. Of the life. And that is what it is called. It is called Nafkhatul Imata. Nafkha in Arabic means blowing. Imata means death. The blowing of the death. As soon as that is blown the first time, everybody dies. And the second blowing is referred to as the Nafkhatul Ihya, the blowing of life. That as soon as that is blown, everybody comes to life. But the important thing that we have to understand over here is that when the first instance of the blowing takes place, which will cause every entity except a certain group, every entity to die, according to traditions, he is not going to send an email to us, okay, tomorrow 12 o'clock I'm coming down. It is according to traditions and according to the ayat of the Quran, a word that is used is baghtatan. Baghtatan means suddenly. Suddenly it will happen. No one will get a chance to realize what is happening, let alone do anything. And this is what we recite in Surah Yasin when it says, وَإِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا سَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. And there shall not be except سَيْحَةً. Saiha is another term in Arabic for a loud sound. وَإِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا سَيْحَةً, a loud sound, وَاحِدَةً, one sound. فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. As soon as this loud sound and once comes about, فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ, all the people stop in their tracks. And tradition says this will come so suddenly, which is again represented by a few verses later in Surah Yasin when he says, وَلَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ أَن تَوْسِيَةً وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. When this will come, and it will come so suddenly, this سَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً, one loud sound will come so suddenly, لَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ, they will not be capable, they will not be able to what? تَوْسِيَةً, they will not get time to write their wasiyah. Tawsiyah means wasiyah. They will not get time to write their wasiyah. I will die, give this money to so much, qada salat so much, qada saum so much, hajj missed out so much, home spending so much. They will not get a chance. La Quran says, Surah Yasin, La yastati'una tawsiyatan. Not only will they not be able to write down their wasiyah, wala ila ahlihim yarja'un, neither will they be able to return to their families. It will be so sudden. And in explanation of these verses, you have the traditions of the Masoom, which explain that when it is said, it will come suddenly, it will come at once, it will come baghtatan, then the tradition explains, you know what baghtatan means, you know what suddenly means, you know what without any information, what it means, then they explain. The Masoom says, it will be in such a fashion that when a person goes into the market to buy a product, he goes to a shop, the shopkeeper has weighed or has decided to give him the product. The product is taken by the purchaser, he has taken out the money to give it to the seller. The seller is putting his hand forward to take the money. The purchaser is putting his hand forward to give the money. The money is between them. The seller has not even touched it. In that moment of space when the purchaser is giving the money and the seller is extending his hand to take the money, sayhatan wahidatan, la yastati'una ila ahlihim yarji'un. Forget about going home, he will not have time to catch and hold his money. It will come so suddenly. The moment the blowing takes place, and the moment the sound goes into the ear, there is no delay. It is like kun fayakun, the sound goes and life goes. And it is not just a life in a colony, or in a locality, or in a city, or in a country. It is universal. It is not just restricted to planet Earth. You remember in Suratul Hamd, what do you recite? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the worlds. Right now we are only confined to one world that we are in. There are places which we do not know. Tradition says where there is life and there is another world, and there are people and entities living over there. Not just associated with this. When that nafaka takes place, everyone, manifests samavati vaman fil ard, all of them will die. But the fact is that when this takes place, it will take place in a manner that Hadrat Israfil is now supposed to come upon the earth. And this is the ruling of God. You will not blow this from the heavens. You have to come upon the earth. How does this take place? A very detailed tradition of our fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin Ali ibn al-Husayn. A Ravi comes to him and says, Yabna Rasulillah, can you explain to us that this Hadrat Israfil, when it is said about Nufikha fi Sur, that when the Sur shall be and the trumpet shall be blown and the entire universe will come to a standstill and will die, how does it happen? Imam Sajjad then goes on a very protracted discussion. He says, when the time of the day of judgment is approaching and has come near, at that time Allah will instruct Israfil, Israfil, the reason for which I have created you is for today, and today you have to fulfill my commands. Go down and do the task and the responsibility that has been entrusted upon you. At that time, Israfil will start moving from the seventh heavens. As he is moving from the skies and the angels see him moving, as soon as they see him coming down, tradition says all of them begin to shiver and all of them begin to talk amongst themselves that the day of judgment, for which even we are fearing, what will happen and how will God manifest himself, whether he will manifest himself as Rahman and Rahim, whether he will manifest himself as Qahhar and Jabbar, we don't know, even we are worried. And tradition, Imam Sajjad is saying, as Hadrat Israfil starts to come down upon the earth and as he begins to pass the angels, they begin to fear because they realize very soon the angel of the Israfil is going to blow the trumpet, which will not only seize their life but will usher in the day of judgment, for which even they are fearful about. Tradition says he will come down and he will go to Baytul Muqaddas or Baytul Maqdas in Jerusalem. There he will put his back towards the Baytul Maqdas and he will face the Kaaba. At that moment of time, Imam Sajjad is saying, he will have a trumpet and he will put it to his mouth and he will blow it. As soon as he blows it, one portion of the sound will go towards the skies. In the skies, whoever hears this falls down dead. That includes the angels of the first skies and the angels of the second skies and the angels of the third skies and the angels of the seven skies and the carriers of the arsh of God and Jibrail and Mikael and Israel. Everybody in whose ears the sound goes die in the heavens. At the same time, a wave would move towards the earth, and every single individual who will hear the sound upon the earth will die. At that moment of time, once this is accomplished, a stage is reached immediately after the first blowing, that in that entire universe there are only two entities that can be seen to be living. We are not talking about that group of entities whom Allah has protected, but right now as things go, we just keep them aside because they are too holy to discuss right now. The only entities living at this point of time when the first blowing has taken place is one, the entity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is living, and second, Hazrat Israfil that is living. And when he is blown that, Allah will say, now come up to me Israfil and give me the report. What is the situation upon the earth? He's saying, Ya Rabbi, everybody is dead. He's saying, what is the situation in the heavens? He's saying, Ya Rabbi, everybody is dead. He will say, then who else is living? So Israfil say, it's me that is living. So Allah will tell him, Israfil, then why are you living?
Mut, you die. At that time, Imam Sajjad is saying, Israfil will fall dead. At that time, Allah looks all around the entire universe. And then Imam Sajjad says, in his absolute splendor and majesty, he calls out and he asks a question to the entire universe that reverberates in every corner of this world of existence, whether it is in the world, whether it is in the heavens, or it is on the earth. And he asks, Lemanil mulk al yom? Tell me, who is the absolute ruler today? And Imam Sajjad says, when he asks this question reverberates into entire universe. Who today is the Lord? Limanil mulk al-yom? In whose hands is the power today? Tell me. And Imam Sajjad says, reverberating in the entire universe, there is nobody to answer him. There will be nobody to reply to him, because there is nobody living except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who caused everybody's death, Israfil himself, has been told, Mut, die, and Israfil dies. When Allah sees that there is no answer coming, then He Himself answers, Al-Mulk al-Yom Lillahi al-Wahid al-Jabbar Lillahi al-Wahid al-Qahhar. Today the mulk and the authority and the power and the control lies in the hands of Allah the Qahhar. And then Imam Sajjad says, once he says this, he says, look at me now, who tell me, all those oppressive tyrants in the world who thought they could have stood up against me and who wanted to stand up in opposition to me, where are you to stand up against my might and power? Inni anallah la ilaha illa ghairi Wahdi. He's saying, there is, I am Allah. There is no God except me. La Sharikali, and I have no partners to me. La Wazirali, there is no helper for me. خَلَقْتُ الْخَلْقَ بِيَدَيَّ I have created my creation by my power. وَأَمُتُّهُمْ بِمَشِيَّتِي And upon my wisdom and my desire, I have killed them all. وَأُحْيِيهُمْ بِقُدْرَتِي And by my power, I will raise them all. Tell me, who is it right now who can oppose my power? And Imam Sajjad says, there will be nobody to say that. At that moment of time, then he will tell Israfil, now you get up. Again, we don't know what is the time period between the first blowing and the second blowing. But we're just going sequence by sequence. He will tell Israfil, now you get up. Israfil gets up. At that time he says, now is your time to blow for the second time. And now when he blows for the second time, إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَ That is what we call Qiyamah. Qiyamah means, comes from the word Qiyam. Qiyam means to stand up. When our teachers teach our children in the madrasa, the various steps in salat, what do you say? One of them is qiyam. Qiyam means to stand. That is why it is called Yawmul Qiyamah. It is the day when everybody will be made to stand up. And how they will be made to stand up. And how they will be made to stand up. This is what is mentioned in that verse, Surah Zumar. It's saying, وَنُفِغَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى The second time when it is blown into him, فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ They will get up and they will start looking, what is this place? Where are we? We were just outside my house. I had gone to buy to the grocery, to buy milk. Where is the milk? What is this place? Where is the grocery? In the meantime, that cataclysmic change has taken place. It's a different entity altogether. It's a different appearance altogether. There's nothing that they knew what world was resembling when they see what it is now. And now they're looking, and Quran says, Yandurun. They're looking all around. Where are we? But this ushering of the Qiyamah and the resurrection of the people has a certain characteristics that we need to understand before we go into the details of what exactly will happen on the Day of Judgment on that plains. Once a person is made to rise up, Qiyamah, standing up. One thing according to tradition, which I just started off with the verse, saying, يَوْمَ يُنْفَخَ فِي السُّورِ فَتَّاتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا In the Quran, Allah says, you don't trust me, na? You don't believe what I'm telling you. All along I've been telling you, this day is coming. But I'll give you inclination, indication, information about this day. He's saying, يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي السُّورِ When that day, when the trumpet shall be blown, تَعْتُونَ أَفْوَاجَ You will come to us, فوج فوج. You will come to us in groups. You will not come to us individually. And this is the reason where ulama say that on the Day of Judgment, when the resurrection will take place, yes, every individual will stand up on its own. But when they stand up, they will be taken and brought into the plains of Qiyamah, where the entire drama will unfold, the entire program of God will unfold, the entire sequence of events for which He has created the creation will unfurl. But when they come out, they will come individually. But when they are made to enter the plains of Qiyamah, they will not enter individually. فَتَاتُونَ أَفْوَاجَ You will come to us, فَوْج in groups. And this is why the ulama say that on the day of judgment, when individuals are brought, they will be put into groups. They will be brought into groups. Groups according to the deeds that they do. Fornicators, gather together. Come over here. I'll deal with you together. Liars, gather together. I will deal with you together. Music, hiya, gather together. We'll deal with you together. Ta'atuna afwaja, fauj, they are going to come. But at that time, the moment they are getting up, remember, this is a very sincere and a very scary scenario. I again remind you about that hadith of our 8th Imam, Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam. In which the 8th Imam has said, the 3 occasions in a person's life, the most frightening, because in each of these occasions he's going through a bottleneck and entering from a different realm into a new realm. A realm which has no apparent similarity with the previous realm. So when a person comes from the womb of the mother into the world, an entirely different scenario, small, confined, dark place, he's coming into a world that is infinitely bigger than that womb. From the womb he comes into the earth. Now from the earth, when he's living, he's dying, he's going to barzakh, an entirely different realm, entirely different visions, entirely different scenario, very difficult. And then from barzakh, now when he's been asked, stand up. That blowing is as good as telling somebody stand up. Now he's coming from barzakh into that absolute program, that absolute realm for which he's going to remain there for the rest of eternity. Huh? You can't say life because there is no death over there. And when you say rest of eternity, means 1,000 years? No. 100,000 years? No, that's not eternity. 1,000,000 years? That's not eternity. 100,000,000? 1,000,000,000? 100,000,000,000? Eternity, that means there is no death forever and ever. Hum fiha khalidun. Till for so long as that God is there, that realm is going to remain there. So now when they're coming out, it is an entirely different scenario. Terrified, scared, tradition says, when they get up, fright on their faces. شَاقَسَةٌ أَبْصَارُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا Those who do not believe are the sinners. Eyes are popping out. Imam Rida says, one of the most scary of the occasions when he's coming out. Imam Sajjad is crying. When people ask him, why are you weeping? He's saying, I weep because لَخُرُوجِ مِنْ قَبْرِي حامل and thickly على ظهري. I'm crying because I know a day will come when I will be asked to get out from my grave. At that time, all that I will be carrying will be my sins. I turn right and I look. I turn left and I look. And all along, I see people in an absolutely senseless state of affairs. Nobody knows what they are doing. Each one concerned about his own self. I see individuals with dark faces, anxious, frightened. But at the same time, I see people bright and luminous, indicating that those two sides of the coin that we are always referring to. It's not just one side of the coin. Yes, for this series we have decided to take one side of the coin, but the other side of the coin is there. He says, one side I look, I see faces, beautiful, radiant, happy, no concern on their faces. On the other side I see faces, dark, gloomy, anxious, crying, looking around, is somebody there to help me? Quran says, وَمَا لَهُم مِّن نَاصِرِينَ On that day there is no helper. The only help is help from God and those people whom He permits. But now when this happens, tradition reports that at that time when they're coming out, faces frightened, overcome by anxiety, mud on their faces, and according to certain traditions, in a state of nudeness. Imam Sajjad says, أَبَكِي لَخُرُوجِ مِنْ قَبْرِ عُرْيَانًا ذَلِيلًا Coming out naked and humiliated. A certain group of people will be made to come out of the grave in a state of nakedness. You remember that hadith I mentioned, that incident about Fatima bint Asad? At that time I had mentioned that the Holy Prophet did 2 things. And I said, I'm just going to discuss one thing because it is related to that day, that night's lecture. And I said at that time, Fatima bint Asad, when she had died, the Holy Prophet went to bury her. At that time he did two things. One, he went into the grave and he slept. Second, he took out his rida and he put it upon her. Upon being asked, I had only mentioned one part of it. The second part is coming now. The part that he was mentioned, that he explained, was that why did he go inside? He says, I wanted to make that qabr incapable of imparting any kind of punishment to Fatima bint Asad. So I put my body against the qabr. That qabr loses its ability to give adab. Then they ask him, but why did you put that rida upon that person, upon Fatima bint Asad? He says, one day as I was talking to her about the events unfurling and unfolding on the day of judgment, I said, there will be a group of people who will be coming onto the plains, who will be made to enter, coming out from the grave, and entering the plains of Qiyam in a state of nudeness, in a state of nudity, in prime absolute state as a person is born. He's saying, in front of everybody. He's saying, in front of everybody. Everybody will be there. This group will be brought out naked. Saying, I will die out of humiliation. Prophet says, there is no death over there. She starts to cry. So he asks, why are you crying? He's saying, this is a humiliation I cannot bear, my son. So he says, I as a prophet of God guarantee you, I will protect you from this kind of humiliation. And hence I put my rida upon her, that on the day of judgment, when she comes, others will go naked. But my rida will cover my mother Fatima bint Asad. That is what Imam Sajjad says, Uryanan. Uryan means naked. According to traditions, let me say it as we are going because I might just skip out of it. Tradition says those people will be subjected to this kind of punishment coming in that entire plains of Qiyamah of the whole people of eternity from the time of Hadrat Adam alayhi salam till that last person who's born. Everybody over there are these people naked. We don't like to come in front of people in our house even in shorts or even in a vest. Assuming in a state of absolute nudity, what kind of a humiliation more than this? But Allah says, this is a punishment I have reserved. This humiliation I have reserved for this group because of a sin that they were doing in this world. These are those people who in this world humiliated the people. These are those people in this world disgracing the people, insulting the people, humiliating the people. In this world you did whatever you want. Over there, limanil mulk al yom. Whose authority over there? Lillahil wahidil qahar. If it is my authority, you need to be paid back. You never considered the humiliation of the others in the world. I will not consider your humiliation in this world. As you sow, so shall you reap. But let's move further. This group that will come out. And when the group comes out, there is a special mention of a certain group. A special mention. And it is this group and the states and the characteristics for this group that is giving us the hope. That is giving us hope. Otherwise our deeds do not qualify and quantify us to enter paradise at all. If it goes as a dollar to a dollar and an act to an act and a compensation for an act, we can never enter paradise. But when you hear these, then you will see. Because tradition says a certain group will be made to get out of the grave when the day of judgment takes place. As they enter, it's a very different scenario. There is a group frightened. There is a group faces gloomy, faces dark, muswaddun. Muswad means dark, black, pitch black. Those who are not the obedient servants of God cannot have a luminous face. But there is one group that will be made to climb up. And as they are made to rise up, you will find and people will see, they are coming out in an ajab state. Ajib situation. Faces luminous. Bright. Word comes similar to snow. White. The luminosity and the radiance is so much. The tradition says, not only are the faces luminous, but the noor that comes out is so intense, it encircles and enlightens the patch in front of them. It is as if a halogen light has been placed in front and making all the places that they are moving illuminated and lighted. So much Noor and light emanating from the faces. As they come out, these people will not be subjected to this punishment and the humiliation. And because of this, tradition says, these people will have one of these things. Either they will be covered in their own kafan, or they will be given luminous clothes of paradise, or third, they will be covered by a halo of light so that their organs of shame are not visible. In various traditions, in some tradition that says this group will come up with kafan around it, so not subjected to that humiliation. Certain tradition says they will be given white luminous clothes of paradise. And certain tradition says they will be encircled and encompassed by a halo of light. Faces radiant. Radiance, so much that it is oozing out onto the ground. Clothes white, radiant, protecting them from humiliation. As they come out, their tongues are constantly in the state of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as they come out, angels will come to them. Marhaban bikum, ahlan wa sahlan bikum. Come, we are waiting for you. As soon as they come, white, luminous, nurani camels of paradise will be made to come before them. They will be picked up and they will be put onto the camels, and they will be slowly led onto the plains of Qiyamah. Those groups that have already entered the plains of Qiyamah, when they see this entire caravan, this entire entourage coming, white camels, radiant faces, illumination spread out around, beautiful angels surrounding them, they will ask each other, they will ask angels, who are these? Are these some prophets? Are these some imams? Are these some awsiya and wasiya of the prophets? They will say, no, they are no ordinary mu'min, but these are mu'min who did good deeds and who had the vilayat of the Ahlul Bayt. Sing tradition says when they are made to enter the paradise, everybody shell-shocked. What is happening? Stunned. What kind of group? Ordinary people can be given this kind of a rank. Tradition says they will be taken to a separate location onto the plains of Qiyamah. There they will be made to sit. But it is not an ordinary seating. While the others are engrossed in the accounting and the hisab and the punishment, as you will hear now as I am discussing. Today we have to go along, right? I said 1 hour 45 minutes. As they're taken into the plains of Qiyamah, they will be taken to a separate location, which is very different from where the other people are. There a table will be laid out. Delicacies of paradise will be laid before them. And they will be told, sit down and enjoy yourself. The others are in a state of accounting, no accounting for you. Others are in a state of pressure and tension, no tension for you. The others are having huzn and gham, for you no huzn and gham. That's why Quran says, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. These are those people who will not have any khawf, any fear, nor will they have any huzn and gham. They will be in a state of comfort. All the others will be having those horrors of the day of judgment. These people sitting on the table and consuming the delicacies of paradise till that entire 50,000 year period completes. But this is something that we would want to achieve and wish to achieve. But in order to achieve that other side of the coin, we need to know our side of the coin, right? To know what happens if, God forbid, we don't fall onto that category. يَوْمَ النُّفَقَ يُنْفَقُ فِي السُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. You will be brought فوج. You will be brought فوج. In Tafsir Majma'ul Bayan, which is one of the very authentic tafsir among in the Shiite world, together with Tafsir al-Mizan, written by Aminul Islam, authored by Aminul Islam, Marhum Tabarsi. Marhum Tabarsi, on the authority of a narrator, Burra ibn Azib, is narrating this tradition. Burra ibn Azib narrates that one day the Holy Prophet and Ma'az ibn Jabal, a companion of the Prophet, were together sitting in the house of another companion of the Prophet by the name of Abu Ayyub Ansari. That means in the tafsir it is written, Burra ibn Azib said that one day in the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari, the Prophet, Abu Ayyub Ansari and Ma'az ibn Jabal are sitting inside. And as they are sitting, as has been the case, the companions would ask questions to the Prophet. At this point of time, Ma'az asks the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, in this verse, Allah says, فَتَعْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. When the trumpet shall be blown, people will be brought, fauj groups. What are these groups? When he asks him, the Prophet replies, Ya Ma'ad, sa'altani an amrin azim. You've asked me about a big thing. So can you please explain to me what these things are? What are these groups? Then the Holy Prophet starts a very long tradition. A very long tradition. He says, on the day of judgment, when people will be made to enter the enter the plains of Qiyamah, from my entire ummah, from the entire Muslim ummah, Allah will separate out 10 groups of people. Allah will separate out 10 groups of people. They will be separated aside, while all the others will be allowed to enter paradise. These 10 groups have been specifically singled out for a special treatment. And that treatment is that when they are made, these 10 groups, so from the entire ummah, a block will be taken aside and they will be categorized into 10 groups. And each of these groups, the Prophet says, have been singled out because of a special treatment that God will mete out to them. When I am saying special treatment, it is not a positive special treatment. It is a negative special treatment. These 10 people will be subjected to a special treatment. And one of the special treatment is that they would not be coming onto the plains of Qiyamah in their human form as it is now in this world. It will be changed in some form and fashion. So they ask him, can you explain and elucidate what these groups are and what were the forms that they've been given special treatment? So the Holy Prophet now starts a very long tradition. He says there's a first group who will be brought onto the plains of Qiyamah, but they will not come in the form of humans. They will be coming in the form of monkeys. They will be coming in the form of apes. In the form of apes, they will be thrown onto the plains of Qiyamah. And as the monkeys jump and as the monkeys roll over, these will start rolling over and they will start coming into it. I'm still not talking about the punishment. They're just being made to enter. What will happen is another thing. We will know what situation a person lands into, and then the Prophet explains who these people are. First, let's understand these 10 groups. He's saying first group will be placed into the form of monkeys and they will be made to come into the plains of Qiyamah. Once they come, they will be taken to a separate position, and then God will order, get the second group of people. The second group of people would come. When they come, people would see that these are not people who are coming. These are people in the form of pigs. These are people in the form of pork or whatever you call them. In the form of pigs, they're coming over there, dirty, smelling and unclean. They are made to enter the plains of Qiyamah. Saying the third group will be ordered. The third group needs to come. A third group will come and people will see that these were coming in human forms, but they're coming as blind people. They cannot see, they cannot visualize what is happening. They move forward, they dash against one person, they move forward, they trip over something, right entire as they are entering. They are facing this problem because now they are blind and they cannot see. It will be ordered, get the next group of persons. The next group of persons that will be coming, people will see that these are people who cannot talk and these are people who cannot hear. They can see, yes, but they cannot talk and they cannot hear. When they come onto the plains of Qiyamah and when they are subjected to the adab, they want to shout out but they cannot shout out. They want to hear something when others are saying, but they cannot hear because they are deaf and they are dumb. They want to help, ask for help, they cannot ask for help. They want to explain their situation, they cannot explain the situation. In a state of deafness and in a state of dumbness, they have to measure and they have to bear that punishment that will be meted out to them, whatever it is, for 50,000 years. Keep this in mind. This period that we are talking about is not 1 year and 2 years. It is not 50 years of a person's life. We're looking at an almost 1,000 lifetimes that we are talking about. One day of a duration of 50,000 years. A third group will be brought into the plains of Qiyamah. As they are brought into the plains of Qiyamah, people would see them that they're coming normally. They're coming in a very simple state, just as you and me are. But suddenly they will be said, you do not go where the others are standing. You're going to go into that corner. When they are taken into that corner consists of a place, because there on the day of judgment there is no shortage of place. And you don't have to ask your secretary for them to come in front. You can stay wherever you want. There will be no shortage of space over there. That will be in one corner of the place where people would see the trees of fire. These people will be taken apparently in a good position, but as soon as they reach that place, that trees which is made up of fire, the angels would come and pick them up and make them hang it by and suspended by the trees of fire. As soon as they are suspended upon the trees of fire, a tree which is made of fire, with the branches made of fire and leaves made of fire, dense and thick, when somebody is suspended, automatically that fire percolates, that fire extends upon this person, and within moments of his being suspended, he is flaming from top to bottom. But remember, this top to bottom, he is crying, he is shouting. But Quran, on various occasions in the Quran, has said, وَمَا لَهُم مِّن نَاصِرِينَ. As soon as these people have finished their job, the angels, and have suspended them, their shrieking and crying are going on. But now these angels have no sympathy, they have no pity and no compassion. They are here to follow the instructions of God. And the instructions of God is that these people need to be hung over there. At a certain time, orders will pass. Having finished, get another group. The other group will come out. And the Holy Prophet is saying, and this is a tradition, you can go and refer Majmaul Bayan and you'll find this tradition. The Prophet is saying, another group will be brought onto the Day of Judgment in a way that they would be sucking their own tongue. But the time and the way they're sucking the tongue might appear to be a very normal thing. Somebody just sucking his tongue in his mouth. But the thing that makes it very horrid is that while they are sucking, their entire mouth is filled with pus and septic and blood. So at times as he is sucking, his blood is dripping from his mouth, septic is dripping from his mouth, pus is dripping from his mouth. Looking at it, those dirty things, person wants to vomit. But here he cannot vomit. He has been asked and he will be forced to lick and suck and swallow all those things that are coming out. But they are coming in such immense quantities that some of them go into his stomach and some of them drip out. Then it must be said, bring another set of people into the Day of Judgment. As these people are coming, people will observe that these are people who are in a very different state. Because these will be coming onto the plains of Qiyamah, standing upside down. Our legs are down, our heads are on top. But when these people will be brought into the plains of Qiyamah, their heads will be down, their feet will be on top. And they would be dragged from their faces and taken onto the plains of Qiyamah. Remember, onto the plains of Qiyamah, that ground that we spoke about is an intelligent ground. It knows whom to catch and whom to leave. And it knows whom to punish and whom to not punish. At this point, if this person is coming, every inch that this person is being dragged upon his face, is that person's face is onto the ground that is now living. And it is reacting to that person in the same manner as that person standing on fire. So first of all, he's on an inverted state, and that ground is living. What is happening to his face in terms of being pulled, and what is happening to his face in terms of fire, it is only that person who can comprehend, or his God. But this group, when it comes, a second group will be asked to come, and the second last group, it would be said, get that second last, the ninth group. When this ninth group comes, as soon as they enter the plains of Qiyamah, as soon as they enter the plains of Qiyamah, everybody will forget their adab. Everybody will forget their punishment and say, who is this person who has come? Because according to the Holy Prophet, this group that will be made to enter the plains of Qiyamah will be a group who will be having the body of humans, but that body will be so foul smelling and will be so putrid and will be so dirty, and so the odor will be so obnoxious that people would forget their adab and say, this tree of fire is acceptable, but the smell from this person is not acceptable. The last group, it will be said, get the tenth group. The tenth group will come, and you people would observe them, that these are people, but their faces don't seem to be recognized. Their mouths don't seem to be recognized. Their facial expressions don't seem to be recognized. Why? Because when they are made to come onto the plains of Qiyamah, from top to bottom, they're covered in tar. They're covered in asphalt. The white, the black, sticky liquid is covering their face. And you know, for a tar or asphalt to cover something, it needs to be heated. And when it is heated, it is melted. And once it is melted, then it becomes molten and you can put it on somebody. This hot molten tar is placed onto this individual. And if you have observed at times when construction is going on of the roads and a piece of tar happens to fall upon a clothes, you try to peel it off, it takes a small portion of the fabric as you pull it out. It is so sticky. It is so adhesive. This liquid tar, boiled and boiling, is now put over this entire person from top to bottom. This black entity is coming in a group onto the Day of Judgment. Now Ma'az ibn Jabal is looking stunned. Had he known he would be hearing this, he would not have asked Mana. And had you known that I am reciting you, I would not have been invited, right? But then you got it, right? He asked, he had to listen. You've invited me, so listen now. Stunned, he didn't know what to say. After a few moments, he's asking the Prophet, is this reality? Prophet, whenever he wants to convey a point of importance, he will always refer to God. Walladhi nafsi bi yadihi, by that power in whose hand lies my soul, I'm speaking the truth. So Ma'az asks him, if this is the case, what was the reason that they have been converted into this form? What were the sins, what were the misdemeanors that they have committed? What were their offenses that qualified them to be converted into this form? So Prophet says, now listen. Listen to them and you will understand what they did. We want solutions, right? We want solutions to get us to get away from this punishment. Haya, solutions coming. He's saying that group who came as monkeys, those were people in this world, and everything is to do with this world now. Whatever you sow, as you sow, so shall you reap. This is a place for sowing, that is a place for reaping and harvesting. He's saying those monkeys, people converted into monkeys, brought into the plains of Qiyamah, those were people who were carrying tails. Those were people who would listen and sit with one group, talk to them, take their information, go to the opposite group. You know they were talking like this. Then when they listen, he goes there. You know they are talking about this like this. So what happened? These two people war, quarrel, problems. This monkeys, and that is what a monkey does, jumps from one branch to the other. That is Yawmul Haqq, the day of Haqq, the day of truth. Whatever is haq will be manifested. The haq is that you've got characteristic of a monkey. You were behaving with the characteristics of a monkey. On the day of judgment, the day of haq, the haq and truth will manifest. You have developed the qualities of a monkey. You will come up as a monkey. Those people who are made as pigs, what is the reason for them? The Prophet says those people who were made into pigs and brought into the earth, they were people who were earning money out of haram ways. Allah has given halal ways, but you want to leave tayyib and you want to go to khabith. You want to leave the good way of earning. You want to go to the dirty way of earning. Pigs have that quality of dirtiness. You will come in the form of pigs. That people, those people who were coming upside down, their heads onto the ground, their legs onto the top, dragged from the mouths. The ground hard, the ground living. What is happening to the faces? God knows. What is their problem? The Prophet says, these were those people who would be taking and earning money out of interest. Allah has says in the Quran, أَحَلَّ الْبَيْعَ. Allah has made transaction and business halal, وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى. And He has made riba haram. Allah makes business jayaz and He makes interest haram. But this man makes interest halal for himself and leaves the business that Allah has said is halal. That means now he is turning the rulings of God upside down. You turn my rulings in the world upside down, I will turn you upside down on the day of judgment. You will be walking, you will be dragged with your face down, your legs on top. You want to turn? Haya, limanil mulk al yawm. Who has the power tonight? Saying, what are those people who are blind? He's saying, those are those people who would pass judgments, but while passing judgments, they would favor certain individuals. As a judge, you're supposed to be fair. As a judge, you're supposed to be equitable. As a judge, you're supposed to be adil. You're sitting in a position where people come to you for judgment. And it doesn't mean the court. It can even be amongst you. A quarrel taking place in a family between two brothers. A musalaha done with a third person. At any point of time, if somebody is passing judgment and people come for a sake of judgment, if somebody avoids adalat, if somebody avoids equitable just judgment, at that time it is said they will be made to come blind, because in the world you never looked with truth, right? You looked at your passions. You were blind to the truth in the earth. So today we will show you as blind, because it is Yawmul Haq. Those people who are deaf and dumb, the Prophet says these are those individuals who in this world were very self-centered. Somebody should praise me. Somebody should talk good about me. If nobody talks good about me, I will talk about myself. Wherever you go, I did this and I did that. This happened because of me and this happened because of my sake. Those self-centered, egotistic people, you're so used to talking about yourself and you are so loving to hear about yourself. In this world and the realm of mine, you will not have a tongue to talk and you will not have ears to listen. You will be deaf and you will be dumb. Whatever you do, it will reflect over there, Allah says. And this is the reflection on the day of judgment. What are those individuals who will be brought into the plains of Qiyamah, sucking their tongue, which is now overflowing with blood and septic and pus of the most horrific nature. Prophet says these are those individuals, scholars, who would speak something and act something. You would speak something. And here when we talk about scholars, any person who knows something is a scholar. It need not be from the mimbar. Even people, when you talk amongst themselves, always in a group, a certain person assumes the nature of the more learned among that group. And if that person passes and explains something about religion, individuals are those individuals who come in the form of sucking their tongue, are those individuals who would speak out about something, but their actions would not match with their speaking. They would speak something else, their action would say something else. So your action was different, your tongue spoke something else, something that was rotten vis-a-vis your action. So now the tongue needs to be punished. Swallow that septic and plus and blood. Saying, what happened about that other group without hands and legs? He's saying these are those people who will be brought onto the day of judgment, hands severed, legs severed. These are those individuals who have always troubled their neighbors. Ajab, this is not father he's talking about. This is not mother he's talking about. That father and mother will come Shab-e-Ashur. Neighbors, he's not talking about relatives, neighbors. Saying somebody troubling their neighbors. You are supposed to be united. You don't want to be united. You don't want to shake hands. You don't want to hold hands with your neighbors. We will sever them for you. No hands and no legs. Come onto the plains. Lying, disabled, people walking by, kicking you, trampling you. You cannot do anything because no hands and no legs. What is that group that would be suspended from trees of fire? Those group who were suspended from the trees of fire, these were people who were setting the houses of people on fire. Not by means of a matchstick, by means of their tongue. Slandering people. Rumor mongering. You see him coming, talking to a lady, and immediately next day everybody in the Jamaat knows, some problem with this man. I saw him doing something. Baba, did you ask him what he was talking to that lady for? But just because you want to create an aura for yourself, you start slandering people, you start rumor mongering, you are setting somebody's house on fire by means of your words. On the day of judgment, we will set you on fire. What are those people who are more foul smelling than a corpse? These are those people, the Prophet says, these are those people whom Allah has given money, upon whom has become wajib certain rites of God. At times it is kafara, at times it is a wajib sadaqa, at times it is khums, at times it is zakat, at times it is fulan. The rites of God in their wealth, they don't want to give. Wealth given by God. But when he wants to, when it is necessary for him to take out a portion and give it to God, or those people whom God has ordained, he says, no, I don't want to give. Dead person cannot put his hand into the pocket. You are living, but you want to behave like dead, we will bring you like a dead. The quality of a dead person is, the quality of a dead body is, the quality of a dead corpse is, it is smelling. We will make you smelling on the day of judgment. What is that group that will come covered with tar? These are those individuals who are arrogant. These are those individuals who are proud, haughty. You've got the latest Mercedes Benz so that this poor person passes by and says salam. You can't even say salam. You've got money, you've got position, you've got influence, you want to trouble others, you want to show yourself as an overpowering person, you want to cover that inner dirt that is there by means of these false things. On the day of judgment, we will reveal that inner dirt of yours. That dirt will be manifested in the form of black tar and asphalt. Come, now we will deal with you. But at this point, despite the fear that I might exceed, I want to add another two or three cases that will be brought, not explained in this hadith, but in other hadith. According to other hadith, and I'm going very fast, it's saying one group will be brought, and these are points I've picked up because it is so relevant to our community. So relevant, and I would just not step down from this unless death comes before I speak this out. I have to speak this. I think one group will be made to come onto the day of judgment, into the plains of Qiyamah, onto the plains of the reckoning of God. As soon as they are brought down, remember, faujan faujan they will come, group they will come. This entire group will be made to sit to come into the plains of Qiyamah. At that moment of time, God will ordain, "Hiya, start your work, the angels." The angels will pick up huge boulders of rock that would have been placed specifically in one corner for these people. These huge boulders, not boulders like the size of this. We're talking about boulders the size of buildings. The size of towers. Those huge boulders were picked up. And upon every single person from this group, it will be brought down with a crash. As soon as it crashes, the entire head splatters. The skull breaks. The brain just gets splattered all over onto the ground. But here there is no death. One aspect about these punishments of the day of judgment is that there is no death. So even if the brain gets splattered, tradition says, even if the brain gets splattered and the person is assumed to be dead, in the very next instant, his skull gets repaired, the brain goes back and he stands up again for the next round of the hurling of the boulder. Every time that stone is hurled, he will experience the pain as if it is for the first time. Says who? Says the Quran. Quran says, you know, over there is no death. Once you pass from this bottleneck of death, over there is no death. Even if we subject you to the punishment of the fire, you will not die. Kullama nadhajat, Quran I am speaking, kullama nadhajat juluduhum, on that day when we subject them to the punishment by the fire, and when our fire start burning their skin, and the epidermis gets burned, and the lower tissues get burned, and the flesh gets burned, and the fire melts the flesh, so now it's only the skeleton remaining. Kullama nadhajat juluduhum baddalnahum juludan ghayraha liyudhiqul adhab. Once they finish off with the skin and flesh, immediately we will replace it with another set of flesh and skin, so that every time that flesh is burned, he experiences the pain and the hurt as if it is being subjected for the first time. There is no death. Death is finished. Over there it is just bearing it up. And that is why it becomes so difficult to understand when we talk about the day of judgment. Hai joy lesu. Na juvai, joy nahi shake apne. We cannot do that. We are fooling ourselves. This group comes, boulders are hit on their head. The head gets splattered, the brain gets splattered. And within a moment, they become alright. And the next boulder comes, and every time the hitting is as if it is being hit for the first time. The Prophet is asked, what is their sins? He's saying the sins of these people are that they were very happy to keep their heads in comfort. Meaning what? Namaz is subh. Not getting up for namaz is subh. That pillow was so comfortable, na? The head doesn't want to get out of that pillow. That head doesn't want to lift itself from the pillow to seek and to submit himself to the God. This head was very arrogant. This head did not want to get out from the pillow. We will subject this head to the punishment. Comfort over there, disobeying me. Haya, come and face. On your head that you are carrying so much in the world, we will subject them for 50,000 years. There's no death. Saying, get another group onto the plains of Khayama. I'm summarizing. I'm not even explaining all. I'm just picking a few things that I feel it is very important to convey to the members of the community and the youths. A second group will be called. The second group will be called. The angels will hold them and put them onto the sides. Not like this. Like this. They'll be made to put at the sides. In one corner there'll be a huge cauldron. A huge vessel. In which the fire is being heated. And iron will be placed inside. Iron is being heated. When iron is heated, it becomes hot. When you heat it more, it becomes red hot. You heat it more, it becomes white hot. You heat it more, it becomes molten. It becomes molten. Approximately 1800, if I'm not mistaken, 1850 degrees Celsius is the melting point of iron. 2500 approximately, or 2450 is the boiling point of iron. At that temperature, in excess of 1500 degrees Celsius, this cauldron is now boiling with molten iron. This person is made, this group, this category, consisting of several people, is made to sit. An angel forces him to sit at the other side. That cauldron is taken and it is poured into his ears. Not hot water, molten iron. 18 times more hot than water at its boiling point, and 24 times if it is boiling. It is made to put into the ears. Riwayat says, as soon as it begins to flow, there is no way to go except down, because he's on its side. It goes here, starts eating away into the ear canal, goes out and comes out from this side. This person is shrieking and shouting. Quran says, wa ma lahum bin nasirin. No helper at that time. As soon as that entire canal is burnt, molten iron, you take hot iron, you heat it, knife, you pass it through butter, it just slices through. This is molten iron into the ear, flesh, it just goes through, goes from ear and comes out from ear. But that is not the end. As soon as it comes out, the ears are repaired. He is turned over on the other side. And now this entire process is repeated on the other ear. And then again he is shouting and he is screaming. But now again, after putting it, the ear becomes okay. And this turning left side and the right side goes for 50,000 years. What is the problem with these people? He's saying, these are the people who did not take care of the ears in this world. God says, don't listen to haram things. Don't listen to Madonna. Don't listen to rap. But here in this world, because God is not taking us by the hand, so it becomes so comfortable. Haya, joyless. We'll see, Vana. These are stories from the member. Haya. 50,000 years left and right, molten iron, because this ear was dirtied by music, which Allah has forbidden. From the beginning I'm saying, if we choose to ignore these things at our own peril, that reality is coming. It will take time, but it will come. At that time, do we have the strength to bear it? Allah says music haram, Islam says music haram, every person who comes on this minbar says music haram. We just don't care. Forget about the youngsters, parents don't care. I've heard people saying, oh, Muhammad Rafino's old songs, kitla fine chivana, savar savar na, you put it, it makes your day. Hi, it'll make your day. Muhammad Rafi, what Muhammad Rafi? What Hindi songs? Then this is the molten iron that is there. Hiya, this is for the music. Those who take heed, those who don't take heed, don't take heed. At last category before I go on to the masail, the last category will be asked. Not the last category for tonight. We'll have still more categories coming, right? This last category for tonight will be say, Hiya, get them inside. When they are got inside, there's a certain place where they will be made to stand. As they're made to stand over here, they'll say, you stand over here, we're coming. Angels will go. There are trees growing over there. They will pluck out branches of that tree. This tree is an ajab tree. This tree is a very strange tree, because its branches have thorns that come out on the both sides. a branch in between and thorns, thick, hard, strong, sharp. These thorns are taken. These people are made to stand. Angels will come and hold the two hands of this person. And this angel comes from the front and puts these thorns into the eyes. And then as he puts it into the eyes, it is pulled out. When it is pulled out, what comes out is not just the thorn and the branch. With it comes out the eyes. With it comes out the eyeballs. With it comes out the nerves. With it comes out the capillaries. With it comes out everything that is there in the socket. As soon as it is coming out, shrieking, shouting, bleeding, everything is there. وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ. There is no helper. But the moment the eyeballs is pulled out, immediately a new set of eyeballs come. And now again this punishment, at times what happens, you know? At times, you have a problem in your finger. It becomes septic. It becomes problem, gangrene. What did you cut it out? Khalas, finish. Gone. Yes, you lose a finger. But you're safe from the problem, right? It's gone, gone. What happens if it doesn't go? If it doesn't go, what happens? You hurt somebody, you remove sensation, become paralyzed. One finger paralyzed. So I won't be able to pick up like this, right? It's paralyzed. What happens if it is not paralyzed? It keeps getting the pain and you have to bear it up. And this is what will happen. Every time that eyeballs are pulled out, and the shrieking and the pain goes, and I leave it to your imagination, how sensitive this thing is. A little speck goes inside and we just can't be restless enough to take it out. To what to speak about thorns being pushed inside and the eyeballs pulled out. But the important thing is, once they are pulled out, there is no ease and comfort. Ke haya, gone eyeballs, haya, take it, I don't want. Again a new set of eyeballs given, and every time the thorns are put inside, the same punishment goes. And the same punishment is experienced. Where do we go? Where do we understand? How much do we need to tell ourselves? Is there no time where we need to take heed? This is what Quran says. وَلَكَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَحَلْ مِمْ مُدَّكِرْ. Is there somebody to take heed? Nobody? But then, tonight is an ajeeb night. Despite being taking time for so long, we have no option except to continue. You know why? The reason is that from the start in the entire calendar, after Muharram finishes, everybody is waiting for the next Muharram to come. And that's what we pray. Allah, give us opportunity so that we get another chance to do the adha of Hussain. But once Muharram comes, then everybody is looking forward to Ashura. We plan out that day we will not go out, that day we will close our businesses. But before Ashura, there is one day everybody is looking forward to. You know that day of Hadrat Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Yes, everybody is looking to Ashura, but there is one day that everybody wants to be in the mosque. That is when the talk of Abul Fadl al-Abbas takes place. Ajab personality. And ajab love Allah has put of Abul Fadl in our hearts. Ajab love this, sir. You may speak lie, people may speak lie about something, but when it comes to Abul Fadl, they'll think twice. Should I take his name and lie? It started off from the time when he was small. He was ordained for a purpose. Because when he was born, Ummul Baneen was in the house. Ali was in the mosque, Masjid al-Nabi. A person comes to Ali and says, Mubarak is, oh Amirul Mu'mineen. Saying, what happened? Saying, a child has been delivered to Ummul Baneen. Ali prays two rakat namaz shukrana and he goes to Ummul Baneen. He goes, he sees Ummul Baneen lying and a small child. Beautiful. But now as he is looking at the child and his eyes go to Ummul Baneen, he's amazed, he's surprised. Why? Because Ummul Baneen is a little worried. Her face shows the signs of worry. So Ali asks Ummul Baneen, what is the problem? A child has been born, a son has been born, and you look very worried. So she says, Ya Abul Hasan, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I am happy that this child is born to me. But from the time this child has been born, I have not seen him open his eyes. I hope he's of sound health. So Ali says, for this child, don't worry about his health. Because he is coming for a purpose for which he has to be like Haider. He has to be like Haider-e-Karra. Don't worry. But he's not opening his eyes. At this time, Ali says, I know the reason for it. Don't worry. He takes the child in his arms. The eyes of the child still close, huh? Even in Ali's arms. As he's there, he tells, Hassan was standing. He's saying, Hassan, go call Hussein. Hassan, go call Hussein. As soon as Hussein comes, Ali says, Hussein, I've got something for you, I've got a gift for you. Having said that, Ali takes Abbas and puts it into Hussein's hand. As soon as the Hussein's hand was felt by Abbas on his body, he opened his eyes. And the first person Abbas sees in this world is the face of Hussein. He was bought for Hussein from Allah. As soon as it comes in Hussein, in Ummul Baneen's hand, Abbas doesn't open the eyes. Ali's hand, Abbas doesn't open the eye. As soon as Hussein takes him, Abbas opens his eyes. First person Abbas sees is Hussein. And this loyalty and this attachment of Abbas to Hussein continues right throughout his life. Never it is said that he called his brother a brother. It was always Sayyidi, oh my master. Hussein says, Abbas, what Sayyidi? You are my brother. He's saying, no. Sayyidi, you are my master. Like a she camel and the child. Always, Abbas is with Hussein. And this goes on up to the day of Ashura. Because on the day of Ashura, from the morning, Abbas is going. Sayyidi, let me go. Oh, my master, let me die. I'm seeing all my little children dying in front of me, let me go. And Abbas says, and Hussein says, no, I cannot let you die. Till at a time Hussein hears Al-Atash from the tents of the children. So he says, now I'm allowing you to go. But only on a condition that you will go and fetch the water. I don't want you to fight. Abbas says, fair enough. He goes to the tent, he picks up the water skin. Having picked up the water skin, as he's about to climb onto the horse, Sakina calls all the children. He's saying, all children, come. My uncle is going to get water. Our times of thirst are over because Ghazi is going to get the water. Go get your glasses, because very shortly, Abbas, my uncle is going to get water. All the children stand outside the tent and Abbas goes. Now they cannot, when Abbas goes into the battlefield, he's got his alam with him. So they say, Sakina is telling the others, I know you are short, you cannot see my uncle, even I am short, but look at that alam. That alam, look, it is going straight. Look at that alam, it is going straight. My Abbas, my uncle is going forward toward the water. After a certain time, Sakina is watching, that alam stops. She's saying, I think my uncle has reached Furat, he's reached the water. Then she sees that alam lowering. He's saying, I feel, he's filling the water. Now after some time, the alam begins to come towards the tent. He says, Mabruk, the water is coming. The water is coming. All of a sudden, as it is coming, she sees the alam jerk on one side. She's worried, but she doesn't say anything. In her heart, she prays, oh Allah, save my uncle Abbas. Same my uncle Abbas, but that alam again becomes stable. Now as it is moving, it jumps onto the left side. Now she's worried. She's saying, children, start praying. I don't see things moving properly. Start praying. But now, after some time, the alam again stabilizes. She can't see Abbas. She can only see the alam. Now the alam is coming. She's still happy now. It is coming. But all of a sudden, she sees that alam moving forward. As it moves forward, it dips down, never to get up. As soon as she sees this, she throws her glasses and she says, oh my uncle Abbas, come back. I do not want the water. I want you. Sakina made a mistake by asking you to go for the water. Come back, my uncle. But yehi to masala hai hamare saath. Ki hamari jo, hamara ilaqa jo hai, hamari mohabbat ahlul bayt ke saath jo hai. اس میں جو روح آنی چاہیے وہ آج کی تاریخ کے بعد شروع ہوتی ہے. عباس عجب مرتبت ہے عباس کا. پتائے عباس کی مرتبت کیا ہے؟ عباس وہ شخص ہے
کہ جس کے لیے فاطمہ دنیا سے جب جا رہی تھی تو ایک زینب کو وصیت کر گئی کہ بیٹی زینب میرے جانے کے بعد میرا ایک بیٹا آئے گا جس کا نام عباس ہوگا، جب عباس دنیا میں آئے گا یہ فاطمہ دنیا میں نہ ہوگی، مگر بیٹی زینب ایک کام ضرور کرنا، جب عباس کی ولادت ہو تو کان میں جا کے اتنا کہنا کہ اما فاطمہ تجھے سلام بھیج رہی ہے. ارے فاطمہ عباس کو سلام بھیجوا رہی ہے، عجیب مرتبہ ہے، عجیب منزلت ہے. ایک مرتبہ یہی حسین کے ساتھ عباس اپنی پوری زندگی بسر کر رہے ہیں. وہ کچھ دو چار دن پہلے میں نے جو شب عاشور کا ذکر کیا تھا، بس اسی کو تھوڑا دہراؤں اور پھر منزل مصائب. شب عاشور حسین اپنی بیعت سب افراد سے کھینچ لیتے ہیں، کہتے ہیں ہم نے ہماری بیعت اپنی بیعت کو اٹھا لی، جو چاہے یہاں سے چلا جائے، جو چاہے مجھے چھوڑ کر چلا جائے، اپنی جان کو بچا لیں، کوئی نہیں ہلا. حسین کہتے کہ مجھے لگ رہا ایسا احساس ہو رہا ہے کہ تمہیں کچھ شرم آ رہی ہے، تو میں اس چراغ کو بجھا دیتا ہوں، اندھیرے میں جو ہے نکل چلوں. کچھ دیر کے لیے چراغ کو بجھایا گیا، مگر جب دوبارہ چراغ کو جلایا گیا تو دیکھا کسی نے حرکت نہ کی، جیسے تھے ویسے. کہا تم لوگ چلے جاؤ، یہ دشمن میرے جان کے میرے خون کے پیاسے ہے، میری جان لینا چاہتے ہیں، تم کیوں بیٹھے ہو؟ اس وقت کونے سے ایک آواز آئی، یا مولا آپ کے علاوہ زندگی کوئی زندگی ہے؟ ارے آپ کے لیے ایک مرتبہ کیا، 70 مرتبہ ٹکڑے ٹکڑے کیے جائے تو بھی ہم آپ کے ساتھ رہیں گے. ابو الفضل العباس، سب سے پہلے جس نے سکوت کو توڑا ابو الفضل العباس، اور پھر ایک کے بعد ایک تمام افراد کہنے لگے آقا ہم آپ کے ساتھ ہیں، مولا ہم آپ کے ساتھ ہیں، آپ کو نہیں چھوڑ سکتے. شب عاشور گزر جائے، صبح روز عاشور نمودا. ایک مرتبہ عباس اپنے گھوڑے پر تمام خیموں کا جائزہ لیتے ہیں اور اپنے نظروں سے جو ہے وہ دشمنوں کو روکے ہوئے ہیں کہ غافلانہ حملہ نہ کریں. ایک مرتبہ زہیر آتے ہیں اور عباس سے کہتے ہیں ابو الفضل تم جانتے ہو آج کون سا دن ہے؟ آج 10ویں محرم ہے. ہاں مجھے پتا ہے. بتائے تمہیں پتا ہے کہ تمہارے بابا نے تمہاری اماں کے ساتھ نکاح کیوں کیا؟ تو میں تمہیں بتاتا ہوں، اس لیے کیا تاکہ تمہارے جیسا ایک شجاع اور شجی بیٹا جو ہے عباس کو ملے، علی کو ملے، جو حسین کے کام آئے. عباس تمہارا مقصد بہت بڑا ہے، تمہارا مرتبہ بہت بڑا ہے، آج کوتاہی نہ کرنا جنگ میں. عباس کو سننا تھا کہ ایک مرتبہ ایک انگڑائی لی، رقاب میں پیروں کو جو ہے لمبا کیا اور کھینچا اور کہا کیا تم مجھے جوش دلاتے ہو زہیر؟ دیکھنا آج ایسی جنگ کروں گا کہ تم ایسی جنگ کسی کی نہ دیکھی ہوگی. مگر یہ جنگ کا جو تمنا تھی عباس کی، اسی کے دل میں رہ گئی، کیونکہ اجازت نہیں مل رہی. بار بار حسین کے پاس جاتے ہیں آقا اجازت دے دیجئے، اور بار بار حسین کہتے ہیں عباس میں اجازت نہیں دے سکتا، عباس میں اجازت نہیں دے سکتا. پر آقا کیوں اجازت نہیں دے سکتے؟ کیونکہ عباس تم میرے لشکر کے علمدار ہو. ایک مرتبہ دائیں دیکھا، ایک مرتبہ بائیں دیکھا، ارے آقا وہ لشکر کہاں؟ وہ لشکر تو کربلا کے میدان پر سو چکا ہے، لشکر ہی نہیں جس کا میں علمدار. نہیں عباس تمہیں اجازت نہیں. ایک مرتبہ باہر نکلتے ہیں اور ایک خیمے میں جاتے ہیں کہ جہاں مشکیزے کو رکھا گیا تھا، جہاں جہاں پانی کی ضرورت پڑتی تھی تو وہ خیمے میں جو ہے پانی ذخیرہ کر کے رکھا گیا تھا. 7 محرم کے بعد پانی ختم، وہاں جو ہے سوکھی مشکے پڑی تھی. ایک مرتبہ عباس اس خیمے میں جاتے ہیں تو جو منظر دیکھتے ہیں کلیجہ پھٹ جاتا ہے. क्या देखते हैं, नन्हे नन्हे बच्चे प्यास प्यास अल अतश करते हैं और वो मशकीजों पर अपने पेट पर लगाकर प्यास, अरे कोई पानी दे दे पुकार रहे। एक मर्तबा अब्बास का दिल भराता, इस दौरान में नन्नी सकीना दौड़ती आती, मैं तो चचा अब्बास देख रहे हैं बच्चों को कितने प्यासे हैं, अरे आप तो गाजी है कि आप मेरे लिए पानी नहीं ला सकते। तो बेटी सकीना मुझे लाना है मगर बाबा इजाजत नहीं देते। सकीना कहती बस इतनी बात, मैं सिफारिश कर लेती। एक मर्तबा अब्बास का हाथ पकड़ती है और चचा को अपने बाबा के खेमे में ले जाती है। जैसे खेमे का पर्दा हटता है और अब्बास को सकीना के साथ देखता है, देखते हैं हुसैन एक मर्तबा दूर से पुकारते हैं, सकीना चचा की सिफारिश करने आई हो ना, चचा की सिफारिश करने आई हो। जी हाँ मैंने इजाजत दी मगर याद रखना अभी सिफारिश करने आई हो, मगर एक वक्त आएगा ये चचा बहुत याद आएगा, जब चेहरे पर तमाचे पड़ेंगे यही अब्बास याद आएगा। जाओ अब्बास पानी की तरफ जाओ। एक मर्तबा इजाजत मिलती है, एक मश को हाथ में लेते हैं, अलम को दूसरे हाथ में लेते हैं, एक शान से हैदर कर्रार का बेटा निकलता है जैसे कि कमर बनी हाशिम एक चांद का टुकड़ा निकलता है। एक मर्तबा बिजली की रफ्तार से आधा के दरमियान से गुजरते हैं और एक मर्तबा फुरात के किनारे पहुंचते हैं। अब फुरात के किनारे में जो मंजर आता, जो मंजर पेश आता है, मैं आपके तरफ आपके सामने बयान करूं। अब्बास जाते हैं पानी के पास, जाते हैं घोड़े से उतरते हैं, एक मर्तबा झुककर हाथ में चुल्लू में पानी लेते, अपने होठों की तरफ लाते और फिर पानी फेंक देते। तारीख नहीं बताती कि अब्बास उस वक्त क्या कहते या अब्बास उस वक्त ने क्या कहा, तारीख खामोश, लेकिन मुझे भी नहीं पता कि अब्बास ने क्या कहा होगा। लेकिन मेरा जहन एक ऐसे वाकये की तरफ जाता है, उस साल के जब अली के अब्बास के बाबा अली इब्न अबी तालिब शबे 21वीं माह रमजान, अली की शहादत वाकये होने वाली है, जरबत सर पर लग चुकी है। एक मर्तबा तमाम बच्चों को बुलाते हैं और तमाम बेटों को अपने बेटों के हाथ को हसन के हाथ में रखते हैं कि बेटों तुम्हारा इमाम हसन। जब ये वाकया पेश आता है तो उम्मुल बनीन रोना शुरू करती है कि आका मेरे अब्बास की क्या खता। तो अली कहते उम्मुल बनीन परेशान ना हो, जरा दूर हटो, अब्बास जरा करीब आना, हुसैन जरा करीब आना, हुसैन अपने हाथ को मेरे हाथ में रखो, अब्बास तुम्हारे हाथ को मेरे हाथ में रखो। एक मर्तबा अब्बास का हाथ हुसैन के हाथ में, ए अब्बास तुम्हारा आका हुसैन। फिर एक मर्तबा जब ये वाकया होता है तो अब्बास हुसैन से कहते हुसैन थोड़ा पीछे हटो, अब्बास जरा करीब आना, अपने कान को मेरे दहान पर नीचे उतारो। जैसे अब्बास करीब आते हैं तो अली एक वसीयत करते हैं, कहते या बुनैया ए मेरे बेटे, एदा कान यौम आशूरा, जब आशूर का दिन आएगा तो याद रखना एक ऐसा मौका आएगा कि तुम फुरात पर कब्जा कर लोगे। वलाकिन इयाक अंतश्रबल मा व अखूकल हुसैन अच्छान, खबरदार जब तक हुसैन प्यासा है खबरदार एक कतरा पानी का मुंह में न डालना। अरे मैं कहता हूँ अब्बास ने कहा होगा दिल में, ए मेरे बाबा आपकी वसीयत पर अमल, फुरात पर कब्जा, मगर वादा किया था पानी ना पीऊंगा, पानी ना पिया। एक मर्तबा मशकीजे को भरते हैं, मश्क में पानी जमा हो जाता है, उसके देहान को बस्ता करते हैं और घोड़े पर सवार होकर अब खेमे की तरफ चलते हैं, मगर अब एक फर्क आ गया। जब आए थे फुरात की तरफ तब तवज्जो थी जंग कि कोई मेरा रास्ता ना रोके, फुरात पर कब्जा करना है, मगर अब जब पानी लेकर जा रहे अब तवज्जो जंग नहीं, अब तवज्जो ये है कि ये पानी कैसे सकीना तक पहुंचाए। ایک مرتبہ خیمے کی طرف چلتے ہیں کہ دشمنوں گھیرا جما لیتے ہیں, اور ایک مرتبہ ایک وار ہوتا ہے اور سیدھا ہاتھ قلم ہوتا ہے. ایک مرتبہ علم کو جھٹکا لگتا ہے, علم کو دوسرے ہاتھ میں لیتے ہیں اور مشق کو منہ میں دباتے ہیں. یہاں دوسرا شقی آتا ہے اور بائے لیفٹ ہینڈ کو قلم کرتا ہے. اب علم کو اپنے سینے کے ساتھ دبائے اور گھوڑے اور اپنے سینے کے درمیان مشکیزے کی حفاظت کرتے ہیں. ارے تیر عباس کے جسم میں لگ جائے, مشکیزے کو نہ بنانا نشانہ. وہاں ایک دشمن دیکھ رہا تھا, کہہ رہا تھا مجھے سمجھ میں نہیں آ رہا تھا کہ یہ عباس کیسا زندہ ہے, یہ کون سی طاقت عباس کو لیے چل رہی. دونوں ہاتھ قلم ہو چکے, خون بہ رہا, مگر یہ کیا طاقت ہے کہ جو عباس کو ابھی تک گھوڑے پر سنبھالے رکھی ہے. پھر ایک مرتبہ میری نظر پڑی گھوڑے کی پیٹھ اور عباس کے سینے کے درمیان مشق کو دیکھا, کہا اسی میں عباس کی امیدیں ہیں. نشانہ لیا اور ایک مرتبہ مشکیزے میں اس تیر کا لگنا, پانی کا بہنا, پانی جیسے بہ گیا جیسے عباس کی امیدیں بہ گئی. ارے ابھی عباس سکینہ کے پاس جا کر کیا کرے, ایک مرتبہ گھوڑے کو موڑا اور رخ کیا مقتل کی طرف. وہاں سے ایک شکی نے ایک کرس مارا سر پر, اب عباس سنبھل نہ سکے. عباس گھوڑے سے زمین پر آتے ہیں, مگر عزاداروں جب کوئی بلندی سے گرتا ہے تو اپنے ہاتھوں کا سہارا لیتا ہے. ارے میرا سلام اے ابل فضل العباس پر, ہاتھ نہ تھے منہ کے بل زمین پر گرے. ارے عجب نہیں خدا کا عرش ہلنے لگا ہو. ایک مرتبہ جیسے گھوڑے سے زمین پر آتے ہیں ایک آواز لگایا, یا ابا عبداللہ علیک منی السلام, اے میرا سلام ہو میرے آقا پر. مگر اس حالت میں جیسے حسین نے اس سلام کو سنا, اپنے پیروں پر اٹھے اور دوڑتے گئے. کہاں ہے میرا عباس, کہاں ہے میرا عباس. چلتے چلتے پیر اس کی کوئی چیز کے ساتھ ٹھوکر لگتی ہے, جیسے نیچے دیکھا, کیا دیکھا, ارے عباس کا بایا قلم شدہ ہاتھ اٹھاتے ہیں, آنکھوں سے لگاتے ہیں, دامن پہ رکھتے ہیں اور آگے جاتے ہیں. پھر آگے دیکھا, ارے دوسرا ہاتھ پھر اٹھایا, اے میرے بھیا کہاں, اے میرے بھیا کہاں. مگر جیسے جاتے جاتے ہیں ایک جملہ کہتے جاتے ہیں, الان انکسر ظہری. ارے عباس آج میری کمر ٹوٹ گئی, آج میری امید منقطع ہو گئی, کہاں ہو میرے بھائی. مگر جب پہنچتے ہیں آخری لمحے باقی ہے, جیسے آقا کو دیکھا مسکرایا اور عباس کی روح پرواز. حسین نے علم کو لیا, جیسے خیمے کی طرف آئے سکینہ دوڑتی ہوئی آئی, ارے بابا چاچے بابا چچا آ گئے پانی لے آئے. حسین نے کہا اے سکینہ علم آ گیا, علم بردار نہ آیا, خیمے میں علم کو لے جایا گیا. یہاں سے بی بی آئی, وہاں سے بی بی آئی, واباسا واباسا. وسیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون. الا ولعنت اللہ.